In the church, we need to be lifting one another up, and we need to share what God has done with us. So I thought I'd share something that was written by a former friend. He's passed on, but I think you'll enjoy the story of his faith in God and how God had blessed him in his life. It's called Who Held the Handlebars? When I attended Mount Vernon Academy, our country was suffering the economic problems of the Great Depression. My mom had been left on her own to raise me and my two brothers. Jobs were scarce and money was hard to come by, so we boys learned to work, to do things to earn a little money. We also learned to do without a lot of things we would have liked to have had, toys, clothes, food, etc. I remember that much of the time during those years, I was continually hungry. We could seldom afford all of the food we needed, and we were rarely able to acquire any new clothes. Mostly we got along on hand-me-downs. We had a Jersey cow, Betsy, that we had acquired when times were more prosperous, and for several years she kept us in milk and butter and cottage cheese. We were even able to sell the cottage cheese to some of our neighbors. Later on, after Betsy was gone, one of our neighbors used to sell us skimmed milk for 5 cents a gallon. Our mom always insisted on planting a good-sized garden, and my brothers and I helped with getting the ground ready, planting the seeds, doing the weeding, the picking, and the canning of the vegetables. So our garden was always quite a help in providing our food supply. Our landlord showed my elder brother Edwin and me how to identify three different kinds of edible wild mushrooms, and we used to gather them in the pasture and in the woods. We would take some home for our mother to prepare for us to eat, and we would also go door to door in town selling these wild mushrooms. I have since marveled at how readily people bought them, obviously trusting us, a couple of grade school children, whom they did not know, to provide them with only edible mushrooms. We always ran out of mushrooms before we ran out of customers. Mom would also make flowers out of crepe paper, and we would sell these from door to door. My brother Edwin and I would get jobs around the neighborhood, spading gardens, running errands, picking berries, doing any kind of odd job we could find in order to earn a little money. Mom would take in laundry and do housework. There was no welfare in those days like there is today, not even food stamps to help out. We just had to find some way to make it on our own. Of course, we prayed a lot, and God found ways of answering our prayers and providing for our needs. Many times he did this through people who could provide us work or could assist us in other ways. A Seventh-day Adventist business family in the neighborhood had a paper route. They decided that we needed the income from it more than they did, so they gave me the route. I found that it would take me about 2 hours to deliver the papers if I walked around the route and took several shortcuts across fields between some of the roads where my customers lived. I could do it in an hour and a half if I rode my bicycle and stayed on the roads. The papers were printed in Mount Vernon about 2 miles away at 4 o'clock each afternoon, and the local SDA grocer would pick them up during a business trip to town and bring them to his store in Academia at 5:30. I would get the papers there and deliver them during the following couple of hours or so. The system worked all right during the summer and early fall when the days were long and the sun did not set before 7 p.m. But during the shorter winter days, when the sun sometimes set as early as about 5 o'clock, there could be a problem in trying to get these papers delivered before the Sabbath began. So during that first fall, as the days got shorter, I began thinking of the problem of how to get the papers delivered before sunset on Friday afternoons. I decided that on Fridays I should not wait for the grocer to bring the papers, but that I should go after them myself. If I got the papers at 4, I could get them delivered by 5:30. That would take care of the situation until sunset came earlier than 5:30. The first Friday that I went after the papers, I reached the newspaper office at about 10 minutes to 4, and I was dismayed as I stepped inside to find the office already full of boys waiting for their papers. I thought, I'm going to have to wait for all these boys to get their papers before I can get mine, because they are all ahead of me. I waited near the outside door through which I had entered. As I faced the counter, I was at the back of that pack of boys who were impatiently waiting for their papers. I watched the minute hand on the large clock on the wall as it slowly made its way toward 4 o'clock. When at last it was straight up, I heard the press out in the plant starting to roll. It made a clanking sound that sounded something like, "Kaloon, kaloon," very slowly at first, and then it began picking up speed. "Kaloon, kaloon, 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 kaloon," and soon it was going very fast. I knew that every one of those columns meant that another paper had been printed and cut and folded and had dropped into the hamper at the end of the press. And oh, how I wished I could get those first papers off the press so I could be on my way. Just then the manager stepped in from the press room. He was a large man, well over 6 feet tall. He pretty well filled the doorway as he came in, but he had only one arm. His left arm had been amputated for some reason just above the elbow. He stepped up to the counter and looked out over all these boys. Then he saw me at the back of the pack. Looking right at me, he asked, "You're waiting for your papers?" "Yes, sir." "I'll get them for you." He went back into the press room and presently returned with a stack of papers clamped under the stump of his left arm, opening and closing the door with his right hand. Then he stepped up to the counter, took the papers with his right hand, and reaching over the heads of that crowd of boys, he handed them right to me. Every Friday after that, I got the first papers off the press. I never asked for special treatment. I never told the manager why I wanted to get my papers early on Fridays. I suppose he knew, but I had not told him. I would sometimes go to the newspaper office on other days to get my papers, and on those days he never gave me special treatment. I always waited my turn. But he always gave me the first papers off the press every Friday for the next 4 years. That meant that I could get the papers delivered before the Sabbath began, as long as sunset was not before 5:30. But as the weeks went by, the days grew shorter, and as the days got shorter, the sun set earlier, and I knew that soon it would be setting before 5:30. I wondered what I should do then. I could not think of any easy solution, so I decided I would have to ride my bicycle as fast as I could and pray that God would help me to finish the deliveries before sunset. And that is what I did. And somehow, on those short Fridays, I always finished 5 minutes before sunset. I knew it was 5 minutes before sunset because someone at the academy would ring the bell in the belfry at 5 minutes before sunset each Sabbath in order to let the students and the community know that the Sabbath was just 5 minutes away. And every Friday on those short afternoons, as I delivered the last paper to a house just off the campus and about a block from my home, I would hear the bell begin to ring. It would continue ringing during the few moments it took me to coast on my bicycle the short distance on down to my home. I used to wonder about that. How is it possible to deliver the papers in less than an hour and a half on Fridays when it took an hour and a half on other days? And I found that I was not as tired on Fridays when I delivered the papers in less than an hour and a half as I was on the other days when I took longer. And I wondered about that. Then one day I learned the answer. You see, I carried the papers at my left side in a special newspaper bag that was supported by a canvas strap that ran over my right shoulder. I would sometimes stand up on the bicycle pedals and lean forward so I could exert greater pressure on the pedals. When I did this, the newspaper bag would sometimes slip forward and the papers might start to slide out. When this happened, I would quickly stop pumping, sit back on the seat, push the papers in the bag back to a better position, then stand up on the pedals again and resume pumping. One Friday afternoon, I was a little more than halfway around the route. I was pumping up a hill on a gravel road. In order to put more pressure on the pedals, I stood up and leaned forward. As I did so, the newspaper bag pitched forward and the papers started to slide out. Quickly, I stopped pumping and sat back on the seat. As I adjusted the papers and the bag, a strange feeling came over me, and I realized that something unusual was happening. Normally, when a person on a bicycle stops pumping, even on a smooth road on the level, the bicycle will begin slowing down. But I had stopped pumping while going uphill through gravel, and I was not slowing down. I was speeding up. Then I knew what was happening. My angel was pushing the bicycle, and he knew just how fast to push it to get me around the route 5 minutes before sundown. That happened not only once or twice, but every short Friday when I would not otherwise be able to get through before sunset for 4 years. Then one Friday, something even more unusual happened. As I remember it, sunset was at about 5:23 that day. I had gotten my papers at the newspaper office at 4 o'clock, as usual, and had ridden quickly to my territory. I delivered the first paper, then started pumping up the first steep hill on the 3C highway, which ran through academia. I was standing up, pushing hard on the pedals and pulling up on the handlebars, trying to make good time up the hill, when suddenly I felt the handlebars jerk upward. I knew what that meant. The handlebar stem had just broken. In order to hold the handlebars in place in those days, the handlebar stem was split on the lower end and a bolt was used to drive a wedge up tightly into the slot to push both sides of the stem against the tubing coming up from the front fork. This meant that the two protruding sides at the lower end of the stem were continually on a tension, and the vibrations caused by riding the bicycle would make them vibrate. When the metal aged and became brittle, one or the other of those protruding sides would break off. This would release the pressure holding the handlebar stem and very shortly would slide out of the tubing and the handlebars would come off the bicycle. This happened every few months, so I had a spare set of handlebars at home with a stem attached all ready to use. But home was a mile away, and if I took time to go there and install the spare handlebars, I would not be able to finish delivering the papers before sundown. I could discard the bicycle and walk, but I knew that would take too long. Or I could walk uphill and coast downhill, and the handlebars might stay in place longer than they would if I pumped uphill. But I knew that too would take too long. The only way I could think of that might make it possible to deliver my papers before Sabbath was to keep on writing, so that is what I did. While I was making this decision, the handlebars were loosening. They were rocking back and forth as I pushed on the pedals and were getting looser with every pump. I prayed that if it was God's will, he would make those handlebars hold until I finished delivering the papers and that he would help me to finish before sundown. The loosening stopped. All the rest of the way around the route, the handlebars moved only as much as they had when I prayed that prayer. I pumped on up that hill, delivering papers as I went, then went down the other side. I went out road after road and back as I delivered papers. I pumped up several steep hills, and the handlebars still continued to hold. Finally, I had gotten to my farthest customer up the 3C highway and had come back down to the remaining few customers right near the academy. I delivered their papers and coasted from the last one down the highway to where the sidewalk started near the middle of academia. I turned the handlebars to steer this bicycle up onto the sidewalk, and the bicycle responded. I turned the handlebars the other way to guide the bicycle along the sidewalk to our house, and the bicycle responded. But when I reached our yard, I turned the handlebars to turn into it, but the bicycle did not respond. It went straight ahead, and the handlebars came off in my hands. They had held just long enough. Apparently, my angel had held them in place as long as they were needed and had then let them go. I suddenly realized that on this particular evening, I had not yet heard the 5-minute warning bell ringing. I wondered why. I entered the house, looked at the clock, and found that I had finished 10 minutes before sundown instead of the usual 5. So I had time before Sabbath to install the spare set of handlebars so that the bicycle was all ready for the Saturday night paper deliveries, which I'd make after the Sabbath the next evening. These and other experiences I have had have helped me realize that God is real, God is alive, God is able to do things. He is able to look after me and to provide for my needs, and he is interested in me and does do things for me. And I know that he is interested in you too. He is able to do things for you and to take care of your needs also.